good morning. Morning and happy new year. We're starting this new series called Talking to Myself today. It's a five-week series. Let me beg the question. Do you talk to yourself? Quick, just show of hands. Who talks to themselves? Yeah, same thing in the first service. Most of us will raise our hand. Now, here's the thing. Here's the way I want you to think about it, because more of you do this than you think. I really think all of you do it. Sometimes talking to yourself is actually out loud. Sometimes we do that in the car when we're by ourselves. Sometimes we do it just at home or wherever when we think we're by ourselves. Sometimes we do it kind of just when we're on our own. Sometimes when you're a kid, you do it when you're learning how to do something like tying your shoe. You talk yourself through the steps or you narrate kind of as you're playing. Maybe when you're first learning to drive a car, you kind of walk through the steps and you say it out loud, talking to yourself, push down brake, seatbelt, check mirrors, put in drive. Like you go through the steps or whatever. We do that. Some of us do that. Some of us use the kind of the tool, note to self. Buy milk at the store. Note to self. Make sure you read that book or watch that movie. Note to self. Don't do that again. Note to self. Don't say that out loud again. There's different things we do in terms of note to self. That's talking to yourself. I think all of us have an inner voice that's constantly telling us something about someone, about us, about God, about whatever we're doing. There's always something inside that's fueling our thoughts and actions. The truth is, I think we all have an inner dialogue that's constantly speaking to us, and I think you probably do it more than you think, and it matters more than you know. This idea of talking to yourself could be a game changer. In fact, what we're kind of asking in this series is, could a key to a new year and a new you be how you talk to you? I think God has something to say to your life. I think he should be the primary voice in our life. But sometimes it's hard to hear him above the noise of what we're saying to ourselves. And here's the truth about when I talk to myself. If anybody says something to me, I fact check them. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I believe everything should be questioned and I doubt everything on a first hearing. I don't fact check myself with what I say to myself. In fact, a lot of times I feel like if I want a professional opinion, I would just listen to the voice in my head, right? Like, I kind of have that mentality. I'm probably not alone in that I fact-check others more than I fact-check myself. Yet my voice is the one that's constantly running on a loop, saying things that are true or are not true, that fuel the choices I make, the relationships I choose, the identity I live out. It's all there. And I think a key to a new year, how this year will go for you, and a new you, who God is transforming you to be, a lot of it will be furthered along or hindered based on how you talk to yourself. Self-talk matters. But this is not a series about the power of positive thinking. There are books about that, and it can make an impact on your life. But this is a series not about positive thinking, but about truth-telling. And we live in a time in life where truth is gray. We live in a time in life where the truth is what you want it to be. And anytime I start thinking that way myself, or I hear others thinking that way, I go, you know, the law of gravity is not gray. I wish it were not true. I wish my superpower was I could fly. But there's this thing called the law of gravity, and it's pretty black and white. If you go for a long walk off a short ledge on a tall building, you will fall. We know that some truth isn't gray, but we treat other truth like it's gray because we want it to be. Most of us in life aren't on a truth quest, we're on a happiness quest. And we want truth to fit our agenda. This is a series about truthful thinking and changing the inner conversation we all have with ourselves that's telling ourselves either truth or lies. My big goal for this one day, this today, is one thing. I want you to be aware of your inner voice, of what you're telling yourself, what you're thinking about, what you believe. And maybe changing the conversation that we have that's either telling us truth or lies. I want you to pay attention to the conversation, to eavesdrop on yourself, to fact check yourself, and be aware of what's being said. And sometimes something's being said because somebody once said something to us or said something about us, and they said it and it was sticky. It stuck with us. Maybe a byproduct is we'll be more aware of the power of our words when we speak to somebody. But somebody at some point in your life said something about you, and it stuck. And we treat it like it's truth, but it might be a lie. Sometimes it's stuff we say about ourselves, and it's sticky. It sticks around. It hangs around. and we don't fact check it. Is it truth or a lie? There are things we believe about God that may or may not be true. It might be truth, it might be a lie, but it sticks with us. It's a filter. It's how we see the world. And that inner voice is constantly repeating itself, saying those things to be true, and it shapes everything we do. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Now, this is not about the heart, the organ that pumps blood in your chest. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it speaks to the center of who you are. It's your desires, your will, your choices, your identity. It's the core of who you are. And that's why God says, I want you to bring that to the table when you love me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him with the very core of who you are. Your hopes, your dreams, your desires, your identity, your choices, your finances, with everything. The core of who you are, your will, your determination, your goals for life. And what we're told in this book of wisdom, Proverbs, the wise thing to do is above everything else, guard that. Be aware how your feelings may be telling you truths or lies. Your thoughts are telling you truth or lies. Your hopes, your dreams, your goals, they're all kind of leading you, because whatever gets your head and your heart shapes the direction of your life. So guard it above everything else, because it affects everything else you do. And really what I want to challenge you to do today is this. Make sure that you're filling your life with truth, or your self-talk will tell you lies. Make sure you're filling your life with truth, that the intake of what you're listening to, what you're feeding it, is truth. Because if it's not, what you say to yourself, you better fact check yourself, because it's telling you lies. There's some examples of this in the Bible. There's a guy named David in the Old Testament. There's as much written about him as almost anybody in the Bible. We get glimpses of him from a very young age to an old age. We see narratives of telling stories. We see the book of Psalms. He wrote many of those, and those are prayers of praise, of worship, of confession, sometimes lament, times of distress, crying out to God. But we get to insight into kind of what was going on in his head and heart as he makes these statements, as he kind of almost has a journal in many of the Psalms. But in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, we see David's life, and we see that at a very early age, he was kind of tapped on the shoulder to be king. The problem was there was already a king named Saul. So Saul didn't think very highly of the fact that this other guy, David, this young guy, was going to one day be king. David kind of had some highs and lows in life. As a matter of fact, usually he's associated with one of two people. If I say David and, you would say David and. Most people say Goliath. Some people say Bathsheba. Goliath was his best day. Bathsheba may have been his worst. Adultery and murder, all in kind of one little romantic escapade, like not a good day for David. That's where he bottoms out. That's where Psalm 51 comes as a psalm of confession after that, actually. But David and Goliath, that was different. David fought this guy who was the chief warrior for the Philistines. And David showed up because nobody else, and they had this deal. They said, hey, rather than killing all our armies, let's just send out our best guy, and whoever wins, wins the day. Well, the Philistines had a really good guy to send out. Israel didn't. And when David shows up to bring his brothers lunch, and he shows up holding their happy meals, and he's like, what's the deal? Why is no one out and going and fighting this guy? God's on our side. He said we'll win. Why aren't we doing this? He said, no one will go. He goes, I'll go. And the whole story of David and Goliath isn't a story of David's courage or strength, but his trust in God, that God will win the day, even when it doesn't make sense with what you see. So he fights the Philistine warrior Goliath. He wins. David's on the radar. And from that point on, Saul had this kind of love-hate thing with David. Saul was the king. David was a warrior who stood up that day. Saul probably should have done something. Then there's times in his life where people are singing about David as being a great warrior, and Saul's threatened by that. There are a number of times in life where David could have killed Saul. And every time he got to that moment, he showed him compassion, and he said, I won't do it. Saul didn't have that same filter with David. There are times he tried to kill him. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel 27, there's a story where, I mean, David, he had him. He could have just taken him out, and he doesn't. And Saul says, because you've shown compassion to me, I will show compassion to you. I will not try to kill you. And David walks away saying, that's great. I don't believe it. And he runs for his life. Even though God said, I'll protect you. Even though God said, you're going to be king one day. He runs for his life. And you know where he runs? He runs to live with the Philistines, the enemy of Israel. the people where he fought and killed their great warrior. And he goes and he goes, look, no, I promise I'm with you guys. I promise. This is what happens in 1 Samuel 27. David thought to himself, he's got this deal where he's talking to himself. And he's stressed, he's scared, he's tired. By the way, if you're ever stressed, scared, tired, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, especially those kind of things, we make really bad decisions. And David thinks, rather than staying in Israel and trusting God, I'm going to run hide with the enemy. He thought to himself, one of these days, I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. God promised him he wouldn't. The best thing I can do, by the way, what happens next is not the best thing he can do, because sometimes this is what happens. Our voice tells us, this is the best thing you can do, is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me, which he did, anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. So David goes and lives with the Philistines. And the king there doesn't trust him at first. Nobody trusts him, but the king finally kind of gets won over and says, will you kind of be my bodyguard for life? As a matter of fact, we're going to war. Would you go to war with us? Sure, who are we fighting? Israel. All right, I'll go. He goes to fight his own people. Yeah, he's fighting against Saul, but he's fighting against people. And I imagine at some point, the people who are in the army kind of thought, why are we bringing an Israelite to fight with us, the Philistines, against the Israelites? He's going to turn, as soon as he sees his cousin Larry across the line, he's going to turn on us. We're not going to do that. And I don't know if he had a cousin Larry. That's just a placeholder name. But he goes, he's going to turn on us. So the king says, okay, I've given you a town. I've given you this town of Ziklag. Sounds like a cool town, right? I've given you the town of Ziklag. That's your town. You can go there. Just hang out while we go to battle. So he's already rallied. David's rallied his army to go with him. About 600 people. And he says, let's go to the Philistines. Are you crazy? Hey, we're going to go with the Philistines to fight the Israelites. But we're Israelites. Trust me. So they're following him all the way. It takes him on this weird journey to Philistine, back to fight the Israelites. Then they go, no, we don't want him fighting with us. So they go, he goes, all right, we're going back to our town. They go back to their town, Ziklag. When they had left, they said goodbye to their sons and daughters, their wives. They left all their stuff there because when you go to battle, you just travel with what you need. Everything important else is left behind. When they get back to Ziklag, it's been ambushed. Not by the Israelites, but by the Amalekites, some other people. They took everything. What's worse, they took everybody. Everyone. They took the wives, the sons, the daughters. And as soon as they get back, and it's gone terribly wrong, and everyone is distressed. They're heartbroken. They're floored with grief. And when something goes wrong, who do you blame? Hey, David, wasn't this your idea? Go to Philistine. It'll be great, he said. Let's go to Ziklag. It'll be great, he said. And now everything's gone. And as his men are kind of processing grief and they're looking for someone to blame, they look at David, and this is what happens in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed. That's an appropriate emotion right now. Greatly distressed. Maybe you're in a season of life where you're greatly distressed. David's playbook here is good. Previously it wasn't. Here is good. What he says to himself. Because the men were talking of stoning him. They wanted to kill him. Not just fire him. They wanted to kill him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. At this point, he said, he could have done a lot of different things. He could have said, let me try and reason with them. Hey, don't kill me. God said I'd be king. Don't you want to be in the king's house one day? No, we're going to kill you. You're not going to be king. Okay, maybe I should try and remind them that the real enemy here are the Amalekites because they came and did this. Or maybe he could have said, hey, let me just kind of grieve with you for a while. He could have just run from them. A lot of times in David's life, when things got bad and he got scared and he wasn't trusting God, he would just run and hide. He could have done all those things. But instead, there's a lot of different ways he could show leadership right here. But he led himself well. He talked to himself and said, David, the best thing you can do here is turn to God. You're not going to get enough strength from you to carry the day. That kind of strength only comes from God. David found strength in the Lord his God. His inner voice could have told him a lot of lies. God's turned his back. You'll never win. You better go run and hide. Instead, he said, I'm going to turn to God. Because the truth I believe is that God has promised to be my refuge and strength. God has promised to fight my battles. God has promised that he would never leave me or forsake me. So that's the truth I'm going to tell myself, because that, in fact, is truth. What you say in those moments when you're greatly distressed really does matter. And you're probably saying more than you know, and it matters more than you think. And you better make sure you're filling your life with truth, or your self-talk will tell you lies. One way to just kind of understand kind of what's going on in your inner dialogue is I'd really recommend kind of doing these four things. First of all, recognize that you do have an inner voice. You are talking to yourself more than you think, and imagines more than it makes a difference bigger than you think. Pay attention to what's being said. Recognize that there's something going on. Some truth and some lies have gotten into your life, and you need to sort those out. So recognize that it's going on. Second is record it. Eavesdrop on yourself. Start writing down the places your mind drifts frequently. Pay attention to your fears. Pay attention to your temptations. Pay attention to your stresses. Pay attention to what you think about yourself. Pay attention to what you think about others. Especially pay attention to what you think about God. What is truth in there, and what are lies that are constantly going on? Not what you say you believe, but what you think about in those moments of stress. Record them. Write it down. Eavesdrop. And then you need to start this process of rethinking, of getting grounded in truth. And again, there is truth. It's your first job is to realize there is truth and there are lies. What am I thinking about on a regular basis? Is it truth or is it a lie? Get grounded in the truth. Prescribe yourself a diet of what you're going to feed, what truth you're going to feed your life. Because right now there are so many things feeding things into your life. There are people. There's social media. There's media. There's just what you're around, whatever your environment is. There are things all the time that are images and messages that are coming into your life. That's writing program. It's writing code of how your mind is going to think. And your creator understands how this operating system works best. And he needs to be the one writing the code in your life. And then you repeat, you develop a habit of each and every day, developing this habit of feeding truth into your life and creating a loop of what are the most important truths you need to be thinking about. What is true about God? Who is he? Who am I in Christ? What's my identity in Christ? And what does God say about people? And putting truth in your life. The Apostle Paul recommends this filter for your inner talk, your inner dialogue. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, truth is important, and it does exist. And there are things that seem true, but really we just want them to be true. Are there things that seem true that are absolutely false, but our emotions are ruling the day? Figure out what is true. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And that phrase, think about such things, means keep on thinking deeply about these things. What you feed your mind really does matter. Feed it truth and keep feeding it truth. Eliminate what's not good and add what is. Because there's a battle for your mind, and the battle for your mind and the battle for truth in your life is in fact a battle. It will feel like a battle. And there will be days where you feel like you're losing. Because you say this is the truth, but it doesn't feel like it right now. Well, that's because feelings are different than truth. And if you follow your heart and you follow your feelings, it will take you on quite a ride. You have to be grounded in truth. But it is a battle, and it may be a new kind of fight for you. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through following says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Positive thinking can get you so far, but it cannot demolish strongholds like God's truth can, like God himself can. And the key thing is to figure out in your life, when you're aware of what is going on in your head, is what are the strongholds in your life? What are the places where it feels like you're losing ground? What are the places it feels like Jesus has not gained that ground? You've not given that over to him. Where are the places that feel like God is not present and it feels dark? Where are the temptations that can become more than temptations, they become actions? Where are the thoughts that you want to get out of your head, but they keep coming up over and over again? These stronghold places will require a battle, but the battle is a spiritual one. But one of the weapons is truth. So the question is, what strongholds need to be demolished in your life? And if you will pay attention to your self-talk, pay attention to your temptations, pay attention to the way your feelings drift, where your heart drifts, where your mind drifts, pay attention to that. Like, where does your mind go most often? If just kind of left on its own, where does your mind drift? I'll be honest, at times mine feels like that monkey that you wind up and just goes, psh, 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 psh. Like if you get a mental picture in my head, sometimes it's that. But usually over time, it drifts to one of a couple places. Sometimes it's fear-based. I have fears. I struggle with anxiety. Right now, stress is a big battle for me, battling stress. Where does your mind drift? Where's that temptation that keeps coming up again and again and again? That's a stronghold. Identify it. He goes on to say this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, these lies, these things that aren't truth in our lives, they get the stronghold. And it's a stronghold against who we see that God is, the plans God has for us, the work that God's doing in us, the work he wants to do through us. These are strongholds that we need to take captive. We need to say, it will be obedient, not to me, but to Christ. I want him to be the Lord of my life, which means I want him to be the Lord of my truth, the Lord of my mind, the Lord of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So the question is, at this point, what spiritual truth will demolish your strongholds? Like I said, for me, anxiety is a big one. That passage we read earlier, Philippians 4:8, about says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. Just before that, Paul tells us, worry about nothing and pray about everything with thanksgiving. Like he says, that's how you battle anxiety. And then he makes this promise that the peace of Christ will stand guard in my life. And when there's something that's a guard, it doesn't let anything out that needs to get out or anything in that needs to get in. Jesus says he will guard my heart with his peace and with his presence. That's a truth that is truth whether I believe it or not, or whether I feel it or not. But if I don't believe it's true, I will be carried to the implications of me thinking that God doesn't care, God isn't present, God doesn't know, or God isn't capable. Those are lies. Stress is a big deal for me in life. There are several things in my life that are just really stressful. And in those moments, I can feel them just pressing me. And I'm drawn to the truth where God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, just like David said. Or he said, you are my stronghold and my rock. Like, I need those truths in my life to demolish the strongholds, because after a while, if I feel like something is true, I just believe that it is true. And if you're in a tough situation in life, you will default to your surroundings. And lies enter. One of the biggest challenges we have in this is thoughts are very private. You know, like in cartoons, there's a thought bubble, right? Like, bloop, 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 like there's this thought, and you can see what the person's thinking. Aren't you glad we don't have that in our lives? Like, I can't look at you and go, whoa, all right, I'll wrap it up, I promise. Like that's not going on. I gotta tell you, I don't know if you're thankful for that. I'm very thankful you don't know what goes on in my mind. Again, sometimes it's the monkey that's with the symbols clanging together. Usually my mind's just all over the place. It's a battlefield. Battlefields are ugly. But because they're private, things grow in the dark. Lies grow in the dark. But truth grows in the light. Truth grows in the light. Lies grow in the dark. And our job is to take some of the stuff that's going in our head and bring it out to the light of Jesus and the light of somebody that can know what's going on in here. Because if you keep it all private, it will grow in some unhealthy ways. And you fight your battle alone. Sometimes you think, I'm the only one dealing with this, and you're not. You find yourself where it's got a stronghold, and sometimes just telling somebody, bringing it to the light, is a game changer of the battle. The sad thing about us is we kind of lean back into the dark and lies start to grow. But when you step into the light of Jesus and the light of relationship with others, of people that can be with you and for you, it's a game changer. And we know that people are a game changer because those are some of the voices in our head. Somebody said something years ago. Somebody did something. We said something long enough that we just think it's truth. This is who I am. It's who I always will be. And battles are lost. Identities are formed because we're living in the dark. Make sure that you're filling your life with truth or your self-talk will tell you lies. And the great thing is, it's not just filling your life with truth about God. Jesus, this is what Jesus said about himself, John 14:6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Don't just fill your mind with truth about who Jesus is. Jesus has promised to take up residence in your life and live his life in you and through you through his Holy Spirit. When he's doing that, he is truth. When you let him lead, he will lead you to truth. Here's what he promised about his Holy Spirit that he's promised to give to you. When you give your life to him, he gives his life to you. And when you put him in charge, this is what he says he'll do in John 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, if you've given your life to Christ, he's in you. He will guide you into all the truth. Do you let Jesus guide you to truth? Jesus said to us, follow me. What we often say to Jesus is, follow me. Follow my plans. Follow my heart. Follow my hopes. And God says, do you trust me as your creator, who have invested so much in your life at creation and salvation, like I'm doing everything to give you the best possible you possible, the best possible eternity possible? Do you trust me with your heart, the center of your hopes, dreams, desires, everything, enough to follow me instead of asking me to follow you? Will you let me, the truth, come into your life? Make sure you're filling your life with truth, or your self-talk will tell you lies. So the question is, this week, how will you do that? How will you make sure that you're filling your life with truth so your self-talk doesn't tell you lies? I hope you will monitor and kind of eavesdrop on the inner conversation. Pay attention to what you're saying to yourself on a regular basis. Be honest about it. For some of us, if not many of us, we're on a happiness quest, not a truth quest. What if Jesus really could be trusted? That his truth, that his way, and his life really is the best. What if there really is truth? And there really are lies? And this world that we live in that seems very gray is a lot black and whiter than we think. What if Jesus meant it when he said, I am the truth, and I will lead you to all truth? Get a grip on your inner voice. And then get into the Bible. Fill your mind with truth. It's why we do reading plans on a regular basis at Live Oak. If you don't know that, it's on the Live Oak app. I think we have bookmarks at Guest Central. You can get on the Live Oak website. So far, if you've already started on January 1st, you've read James, the book of James. Today you're reading Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is a great one. David writes about kind of this idea of what it means to trust God. And he even talks about the idea that every night my heart instructs me. He recognizes I've got something that's telling me something. But right before that, he says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. See, when Jesus is your truth, your heart will tell you truth. But if you don't let Jesus be your truth, your heart will tell you lies. It comes down to, do I trust God with everything? And enough, am I filling my life with his truth? The other thing I would say is, you know, Mark talked about in the welcome, get in a group. The people that are around you, their voice becomes your voice. The truth or lies you're telling yourself right now have a lot to do with who you're spending time with. Choose those voices very carefully, because it's not easy to delete them. And it's very subtle how the influence happens. But we believe if we have a group of people that want to follow Jesus together and that can help each other on that journey, a lot of good can happen. So getting in a group, whether it be through a small group here or finding some people that you can be honest with and finding someone that loves God and loves you, that you can take some things that are in the dark and bring it into the light. Say, this is what's going on in my head right now. The other thing I would say is this, just get in the game. Live out your faith. Turn truth into action. Knowledge about God is good, but knowledge lived out with God is better. Doing what he says and finding out, boy, that law, just like Jesus, or you know, creation creates the law of gravity. There are so many other spiritual laws that are contained in here. Of like he said, this is how life works. Trust me. He even says, walk with the wise and grows wise. Like, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. He didn't say that. My grandma said that. But like, the people you're around, like, they'll shape you. They'll shape you. Like, it's in there. And the more I trust what he says and do what he says, the more I find I can trust him and what he says. Fill your mind with truth. Change your diet and live it out. Make sure you're filling your life with truth, or your self-talk will tell you lies. This last year at this thing, some of us here attend, called the Global Leadership Summit. It's a leadership simulcast around the country, actually around the world. Craig Rochelle, who's the pastor of Life Church, talked about a practice he started doing recently called, he makes these self-declarations. And I actually posted an article on my Facebook page between services and about the power of self-declaration, of personal declaration. And I had a hard time getting past the word because I grew up on Looney Tunes. And when I hear the word declare, I think of Foghorn Leghorn. I do declare. And I had to get past that. And once I got past that, so I got monkeys with cymbals and Foghorn Leghorn in my head. I'm bringing it into the light. And I'm just telling you what's going on in there. I started reading what he had to say. And this is exactly what he's like, what you say, the truth you say matters so much. And he says, this is what I do every day. Like, I get grounded in God's truth. By the way, his church is the one that created the YouVersion Bible app. I think it's like 1 billion downloads now. It's one of the best-selling apps, free apps of all time. They don't make any money from it. They just make it available. And they have all these reading plans on there. And you can actually do a reading plan. It prompts you every day. I've got 2 reading plans it prompts me every day to do. And I did this one. It's a 3-day reading plan about this idea of the power of personal statements. And he starts talking about this idea that he has this list of declarations he says on a regular basis that are grounded in truth, but then he makes it personal to his life. And what he says is, I don't want you to copy mine, but you need to come up with your own things that you know to be true that you can say on a regular basis, especially when you find yourself in that place where you're tempted. What did God say about temptation? Or if you're caught up in your past, well, what has he said that he's done with your past? Or if you say, I'm a new creation, the old is gone, as new has come. That's truth. But he also said, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Are you in Christ? Then that's true of you. Declare that. I am a new creation. The old is gone, as new has come. That's true of you. And he has these statements. And I encourage you could Google The Power of Personal Declarations by Craig Rochelle, or on the YouVersion Bible app, search the Words to Live By reading plan. It's a 3-day reading plan. You can do that. But he talks about this idea of what we feed our mind, what we believe is truth, will shape our life. And the thing is, this idea of personal declarations, of who God is, who we are. That's what a lot of the Bible is, these declarations of truth. And I think David did it on a regular basis. In Psalm 16 that we're reading today, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. That's a declaration. I feel scared, I feel stressed, but I will run to God before I even try to run to a solution or withdraw into the shadows. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Can you say that? Can that be your declaration? That compared to God, nothing is good. He is the best good for me. David just makes these declarations, and I think that's why the moments he was able to recover from falling in a pit, from finding himself in the ditch, from making the worst possible decision, is he came back to truth. That's what he filled his life with. What are you filling your life with? I hope it's the truth. I hope it's the truth of Jesus, not just about Jesus. Because if you don't fill your life with truth, your self-talk will tell you lies. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you're very honest that life, our world, is a battlefield. It is a spiritual battle. It's a battle over our heads, our hearts. And God, the great thing is you have everything possibly needed to win that battle. And the outcome of the battle isn't decided by which side is strongest. God, you are the strongest one. Your strength is beyond measure. Your resources beyond what we can even imagine. Your hope, your love, your compassion, your mercy, your grace, your power is more than we can possibly even think about. But ultimately, the battle comes down to what will we run to? Will we run to you or run from you? Will we surrender our life or hold it tightly closed? Will we live in the dark or will we live in the light? God, I pray that we would choose today to let you be our warrior and fight for us and help us to fill our minds with truth about who you are, who we are because of you, and what you say about others. And I pray it would change the way we live by changing the way we think and speak to ourselves. God, I pray your voice would be the loudest in our life and it would shape us to be the people you created us to be. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for being here. If you'd like to talk, I'll be down at the front.